This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled The F Words, Part 1, Pastor Scott speaks about two F words, faith and fear. Where do they come from and what they do? This message was recorded on Sunday, September 20th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope! Isn't it a beautiful day? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us and be glad in it. Amen. The F words. Ooh, not the bad, not like the old days, okay? This is a different F words. After coming to know the Lord, man, these two words really challenged me in so many ways. Faith and fear. Some people say that faith and fear, they cannot coexist. Some say they do, some say they don't. You know, I think some yes, some no. But faith, what is faith? Faith, and if your name is faith, we're not picking on you, we're not pointing to you. But faith, belief in that which has no tangible proof. Or people say, trust in God. And if you read the Bible, and you read the New Testament, you read Hebrews, you know Hebrews 11, if you never read that, read it. It's like they say that's the hall of faith. And it starts like this. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. You know, this is the well-known chapter of faith. And faith is explained as the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Faith starts with believing in God's character, that He says who He is, who He says He is. Amen? I mean, it starts with that, believing that God's character, that He is who He said He is. And it's believing that His promise that He would never leave you nor forsake you. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith. So where does faith come from? You might want to think, well, how do I get it? How do I get more of it? How do I keep it? How do I strengthen it? So many questions we can have. Well, Romans 12, for though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. When Paul, the authority that Paul was about to exercise here was not his own, but it was like proof of God's grace. And he was right here, he was warning the believers that the inflated pride that they were showing had no place in a believer's life. This is especially significant in light of Paul's teaching right up to this point in his letter. He was saying that the Jews are not better than the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are not better than the Jews. Rather, all of us, Jews and Gentiles, we are dependent on God's mercy for salvation. And there was no room for pride. You know, God, and then it says, God has given each believer a measure of faith. For what? With which to serve Him. And this expression refers to the spiritual capacity or the power given to each and every one of us to carry out the function of His church. Amen? So each of us was given a measure of faith to serve God, to carry out the function of this place we call the body of Christ. So you were given a measure of faith. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, where we talks about the spiritual gifts, to another faith by the same Spirit. In this part of 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the different spiritual gifts given to each person to serve the church. Some people were given great faith, and they do things that you go like, wow. For myself, 7.5 years we've been here, and I still need God to come up here to give me the courage, the boldness, the faith to stand before you and preach the word of God. This is the part that every week that I prepare and that I pray, and that my faith would trust that His Holy Spirit would show up. Because if not, it would be just the words. Amen? 20 years ago, talking about my faith, 20 years ago, I would have said, no way am I giving the church my hard-earned money. It's mine. I work for it. That's how I was 20 years ago. 12 years ago, I started to come to church. And I decided that, yes way, I will be giving God my money. Gladly, because it's His. 12 years ago, I would say, no way would you get me up in front of a bunch of people and speak. You're crazy. 10 years ago, no way would I ever go and plant a church. Crazy. And over the years, all the things that I would have said no to because of fear. Okay. Because of fear. Why didn't I want to give my money? Because it was mine. And fear said, if I give it away, I ain't going to have enough to purchase the things I like. Fear said, no way I'm going to get up in front of a bunch of people and speak. Fear said, no way I'm ever going to go and plant a church, because that's crazy. And so fear, you know, was a constant. I'm going to be battle with fear, because it was constant in my life, fear and faith. You know, and all the things that I said no to because of fear, I ended up doing because of faith. I'm not saying I am a person of great faith, because my faith falters now and then, and sometimes I get doubts. You know, the way I look at it is like, I have no college degree. I have no seminary education. All I have is a heart that said, God, use me. I'm not some powerful, influential person. I am the least in my family. I am the youngest. All it was, I just started to trust God just a little bit at a time, baby steps. Because if you really knew me, I was a big chicken, seriously. And the thing is, God is not finished with me. I am so glad, because if He saved me and He was done with me, I'd be toast, I think, because I was so raw and I still need work. I still have issues with faith and fear. Sometimes, I tell you what, when when some of us guys go fishing, it's a good thing our wives don't come. Because if they seen the types of places where I fish, where the guys take me fishing, blame it on them. We were fishing on Thursday night in the rain. First of all, that's a no-no. If your wife would be there, say, don't go in the rain. I don't want, and I don't know if it's faith or stupidity. So, and me and my brother from the big church, he takes me to his special spot. So I feel privileged. And his special spot, there is no cliff. So you know when you're up high on a cliff, you kind of protect it from the waves, right? There is no cliff. There's just a slope that goes into the water and a small rock that you stand on. And the wave comes up on this side, and the wave comes up on this side. And then if you count, as soon as you count, one, two, three, then there's a crack in the back of you that the wave pops out of. And I'm thinking like, man, is this fate or is this stupidity? So we're fishing and it's dark and I'm thinking like, man, I'm really not comfortable here. So I'm thinking like, man, Lord, you're telling me to use common sense or you're testing my faith? So after about an hour of dodging waves, I said, you know what? We should move. Wisdom. But I was praying the whole time we was there because it was kind of spooky. But it was good fellowship. And God answered my prayers. Because if not, you would have sent Pastor Alex or Pastor Aaron up here today because I would have been crab food. But God is good. Hey, so this is the right kind of faith. This is what in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, have you ever seen a mustard seed? Who hasn't seen a mustard seed? Raise your hand. Anybody never seen a mustard seed? Okay, go to the store and go buy one package of mustard. It's smaller than a BB. It's a small yellow seed, probably gets stuck between your teeth. That's how small it is. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you know what? I know you do because you're sitting on these chairs. That takes faith because you never know. It could collapse, right? Not that you're heavy, but it's man-made. It can break. And I know you have faith bigger than the mustard seed because you are here. How many of you would have liked to just stay in bed and cuddle and watch Tennessee play Cleveland? Right? And how many of you honestly would have been wanting to watch football? Because I'm the only honest one. Yeah. I'd rather be here with you. But, okay, so I know you have faith bigger than the mustard seed because you are here. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is like that big, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Get it? And nothing will be impossible to you. So right here, the disciples, they was trying to get this demon out of this kid. And they asked Jesus, why? They had cast out demons before, but what's wrong with this one? You know, they could have been trying to do this on their own power. They're probably good, so used to casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Maybe they said, hey, leave. But maybe they forgot Jesus' name. Who knows? They were trying, and they couldn't. Maybe their hearts and mind wasn't right with God. So their words had no power. But Jesus was telling, hey, your lack of faith. He wasn't condemning them for their faith, but he was trying to show how important faith would be. Imagine he was teaching them, he was setting them up, because one day he was gonna go to heaven and send his Holy Spirit. Could you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years, side by side, watching him do miracles, heal the blind, the lame would walk, the guy stretched out his arm and his arm came back, and seeing him turn water into wine for 3 years, they were walking with him. And then he's teaching them, he's training them. Because one day he was going to go. Man, just like my dad, he would teach me how to fish. Because one day I would go fishing without him. And he wasn't going to be there to show me how to tie the line. He was trying to teach them, you guys can do this. You guys just need faith bigger than a mustard seed and nothing will be impossible for you. So he was preparing them. It's just like, you know, when you gather here on Sunday, we try to prepare you, to preach to you, to equip you, so that when you go back out there, I'm not going to be with you at your workplace holding your hand when somebody cuss you out. But I try to equip you so when you go out there, you be ready. You be prepared. When somebody cuts you off, you're going to say, hey, God bless you, and not say the F word or not tell them they're number one. But that's what Jesus was doing here, is preparing their faith with him. Because faith is important. And fear can be good or bad. This is what I found about fear. Fear, a natural emotional response to something that we perceive like a threat, or a threat to our security or our health. Like when I was fishing on the rock, there was a threat to my life because I seen the waves. You know, it ranges in intensity from anxiety to worry to terror. You know, and that can be bad. If you ever lied to your parents about your grades or how the car got smashed and they confronted you, or you know that when they get home, you was going to get it. What would be like fear and anxiety? Any of you experience that, or just me? Or maybe something went wrong at work. And my boss used to do that to me. Friday evening, I told you this, Friday evening, he would call me into his office, into his cubicle, and he would tell me this on Friday evenings, and he did this more than once. Shiroma, I gotta talk to you on Monday. And I was new in the Lord, and the torment Saturday and Sunday, will drive you nuts. I didn't know how to control that fear. You know, when I was just a young kid, my parents took me, if you ever been to Oahu, my parents took me to the YMCA. It's in downtown. It's in a big building. And my parents took me swimming lessons over there. I was a little kid, and I swear, I almost drowned, and I never went back. Never went back. Never learned how to swim. Yet I love to go fishing. That's pretty good faith, eh? Or stupidity, whatever you may call it. Yeah, and because of fear. Now I realize that instructor wouldn't have let me drown, but I thought, maybe that's when you learn how to swim, when you're almost drowning. When I was about 6 or 7, I was playing baseball with my dad in the backyard, and he threw a ball, and it hit me. It beamed me. Wow, that was it. Stop. Put the bat down. Put the glove away. Never played Little League. Why? Because I was afraid of getting hit. You ever got hit by one baseball? It's not fun. You know, last week, Saturday, we was playing one softball game. And Johnny there, he is such a loyal dedicated first baseman. And when they threw the ball at him and it went in the dirt, you know what he did? Instead of getting out of the way, he got to one knee and went like this. And all you hear was the ball hitting flesh. Pack! Ooh, you stay over there like... And he did that several times to block the ball so that we can get the out. He would have probably had like blue bruises all over. But man, because I got hit by the ball, when I play softball, baseball, when the ball comes at me that fast, you know what I do? Wisdom. I get out of the way. I do. And so I never learned how to swim because of fear. I never played baseball because of fear. Who knows, man? I could have been Michael Phelps. And not the one who was smoking, no. The one who was swimming. I could have been Alex Rodriguez playing for the Yankees, but fear. Fear stopped me in my tracks so many times. You know, sometimes when I was a young Christian and you see somebody hurting and you see somebody in need of Christ and you look and fear, oh man, I don't know if I want to share with them because fear of rejection. You know, I went to people before and I asked, can I pray for you? And flat out tell me, no. Wow. And it kind of puts this fear in you, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't ask people if they need prayer. And that's sometimes I used to think like that. But over the years, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I've been better at working on letting fear stop me. Because if I let fear stop me, I wouldn't be here each week. Fear has been a constant battle in my life. But the thing is, having a relationship with Jesus Christ has helped me to have more success than failure to fear. I think that all of us would have that battle somewhere in our life. You know, somewhere in your spiritual and your physical life, you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to face that fear. And because I tell you what, the wrong kind of fear can keep you right where the enemy wants to keep you when you could do so much more. Fear can keep you from reaching your God-given potential. Can stop you in your tracks. Man, I look at the times that fear stopped me and I all I can say is, man, why you chicken? And it's kind of, if you look, you can really, if you look at it and learn from it, it's good. But if you look at it and you dwell on it and you get stuck, it's bad. So, fear. It all comes. Where does it come from? Well, when I was studying, and I was like, Lord, what? Fear. Genesis 3, starting in chapter 8. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called out to the man, and he said to him, where are you? Really, like God kind of knew that he was hiding, yeah? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, you know, fear, because I was naked. So I hid myself. See, here's the thing. Adam and Eve did something that God told them not to do. And this is the first time the word afraid appears in the Bible. And it was because Adam and Eve did something that they weren't supposed to. They sinned. So you might say that the fear came from their sin. Sin is when we miss the mark. It's from the devil. And fear. He uses this fear to control and to intimidate people. You might say that we have faith when we believe the word of God. And then we have fear when we believe the lies of the devil. Fear comes from faith in God. Fear comes when we listen to the devil, the deceit. Fear can be a hindrance to the enjoyment of life. It can be induced by delusions. And if it lingers and if it overpowers you more than the positive in your life, such as love and joy, sometimes it'll lead to the inability to engage in a normal life. People suffer from fear and they don't leave their house. Second Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I think of that scripture every time I see a spider. Shoots. I see a spider and I think, God, I'm not afraid of this spider. I'm bigger than this spider. You did not give me fear. It's not from you. So the other night, I get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Turn around, there's a big cockroach on the wall. What do? Before, I would leave them, and my wife would have to deal with it because it never bothered me, so I left. But turn around, slap them with my hand. And then my wife has a bag hanging on the hook with all makeup stuff, and it fell right in the bag. It's like, oh, okay. So I had to go reach my, and the bugger was still alive. I had to go. And before, I used to hate cockroaches. You'd be kind of like afraid, especially when they would fly. And I'm, you know, and it's not like real fear, you know. So I slapped them, fell in her bag. I picked it up and I flushed it and I washed my hands, went back to sleep. But that's real minor. Yeah? That's, God did not, you know, I'm talking about the kind of fear. Like when Pastor Alex tells you, go plant a church. And you're thinking like, shoots, you serious? That is real fear because you're not sure what's going to happen. What fear when you feel that tugging on your heart saying, go help in the children's ministry. This morning, I asked Hayden, a young man, help me with the umbrellas in the parking lot. No fear. He stepped out. How many of you got covered by an umbrella when you came out of your car? Thank the guys who went out and got out of the way. And no fear. Fear, when you overcome fear, when God asks you to do something, when God asks you to give a tithe. Sometimes, man, if I give you this, this is my last dollar, God. How am I going to eat? Will you be able to overcome fear? God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. You know, he wants us to be bold, proclaim his name. You know, when I first started to go to the hospital under Pastor Alex, when I remember the first time I had to go to the hospital, I called Pastor Alex in a panic. Pastor Alex, somebody called me to go to the hospital. What do? Go and pray. How? Pray. How? Pray. Just go. Oh, I mean, when I had to do my first funeral, that's, you talk about spiders and cockroaches, that's nothing. We're talking about eternity, life and death. And the fear can stop you. It's like, you know what? I don't know what to do. I'd rather just not go. And the fear can stop you. So, and you know, to, like, there was a stretch in my life that everybody I prayed for in ICU died. They went to heaven. And there was a point where I said, don't ask me to go and pray, because the last five guys I prayed for in ICU, they went to heaven. But you know what? Heaven is, the last I checked, it was a really good place, right? So worst case scenario, they went before me. And yes, I did get to pray with the mom and dad, and people got saved, but still, yeah, it's kind of like, man, Lord, I'm praying for people, but they're dying. But they're not dying, they're living. So after a while, going to the hospital, just telling people straight out, instead of trying to beat around the bush and sugarcoat things, excuse me, you know that Jesus loves you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Simple, not complicated, just say it. Because God did not give me a spirit of timidity, so I can be bold and preach the gospel. Amen? So, fear and faith, can it exist in a person? I think so. But that's where I think courage sticks in. Be strong and courageous. Matthew 8:26, he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Jesus was sleeping on the boat. That's what I do, because I get sick. I sleep on the boat. And the disciples, when they'll get up, we're dying, you know? He arose and rebuked these frightened disciples. I mean, they had seen him do wonderful things. Yeah. But now when the waves are crashing, they were afraid. And he says, why? Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. They wanted him to do something. But this is what Jesus was doing. They were like, Jesus, get up. The waves are crashing. But he just wanted them to have faith. Maybe get waves. There's waves crashing around you. And you want Jesus to just calm the sea. But maybe he's asking you, hey, trust me. Trust me. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. The wrong kind of fear. The one that paralyzes you. The one that stops you. The one that keeps you from serving the Lord. This is what it does. Genesis 12:10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. You know, back in these times, it was okay to go kill a man and take his wife. Nowadays, it's not okay. So the fear of man caused him to lie. How many of you ever had to lie because he was afraid of man? We get five honest people in this church. Lord, forgive them. I'm raising my hand too, so. But, see, he went down and he wouldn't lie. He said, that's my sister. But that was on half-lie because that was his half-sister. Yeah. And he went there and he was afraid for his life. So he lied. Here's the thing. Fear manifests itself in the absence of faith. So when your faith is wavering, you gotta be praying. You gotta be ready, because in the absence of faith, the fear is gonna start to come and overwhelm you. And I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to be courageous, be strong. I think the only fear we should have is fear of the Lord. Amen. And that's not the kind of fear where you're going to get cracks or you're going to get lickings because you want to lie or you want to steal. Fear of the Lord is reverence and awe. It's like, wow, God, you are so great and mighty. I humble myself before you. That is the right kind of fear. Amen? You can put away your notes. We're going to continue next week, again, talking about fear and faith because these two F words has been such a good and bad part of my life. Yeah, fear when I'm supposed to move but I don't, and faith is when I move when I know I should, and fear of the Lord. So and I want it to be, you know, if you have like fear, kind of fear, like fear of man and fear of things, let it motivate you. Because, oh, fear, you know, fear is a great motivator for some people. Like maybe in school, you're going to get lickings if you get one C, so it motivates you to study. Yeah. That never worked for me. I still got D's and F's. Me, fear of starvation. So I learned how to cook. Yeah. So fear and faith. I like to have the worship team come up now. Maybe you can, if you can just bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you never was asked to accept the Lord because you don't know what's going to happen because you say yes to Jesus Christ. Fear may be keeping you out of heaven. Because when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you might be called into serve him and you might be afraid. If you never had the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just pray this prayer with me now. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands, you've seen the hearts. They have overcome this fear. They said yes to you. Live in them, Lord. Live in them. Change them. Mold them. Shape them. Help them to overcome the spirit of fear and timidity. Help them to live boldly for you. Help them to live by faith. Lord, and for the rest of us, let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us trust you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let us take baby steps in our growth in faith. That even if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, Lord, that is all we need. And we can move the mountains that stand in front of us. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for the faith that each one of us has put in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Would you stand up? Give the Lord praise. Would you stand up and join us? And sing.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Truma of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.